This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, we had obviously another terrible thing happen over the weekend with Officer Lee, who was killed by the migrant who was not here legally with the DUI. And then this has gone national a little bit.
The reason he didn't have a license is because he was on probation for a separate drunk driving case. And under the terms of his probation, he shouldn't have been driving. But early Sunday morning, prosecutors say Ramon Chavez Rodriguez was doing just that, while drunk, speeding at least 71 miles per hour when he lost control of his car and plowed into St. Louis police officer David Lee, who was standing on the side of the highway helping someone who had been in a crash. The 44-year-old officer, who served for 18 years on the force, later passed away at a nearby hospital, leaving behind his wife and two kids.
Yeah, a terrible story. That's Garrett Tenney on Fox. Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch is here. We're going to talk about some stuff related to the Secret Service, but I had to start with that. And obviously, it's been a bit of a rough end of the summer for officers here in our area.
No doubt about that. What a sad shame, and how preventable was that? Just awful for this family. Of course, when I was at the county police, I went through 9 line of duty deaths during my time there. There's nothing worse than have to go talk to a family about their public servant that's no longer with us. It's awful.
I can't even imagine. And in this situation, I wonder how many times and what's the result of an officer pulls someone over that doesn't have a driver's license, that has, you know, let's say that this guy was pulled over before this even happened, which would have been awesome, would have saved a life here. What could the police have done in that situation? I mean, obviously, right, if you're drunk, they could have made an arrest. But what are the other, you know, aspects of that related to not being legally in this country and also not having a driver's license?
Well, you're not going to like this answer, but generally speaking, if they just don't have a driver's license, you write them a ticket for no driver's license, and you're supposed to say, oh, by the way, you can't drive. You don't have a driver's license
right
before you get the ticket. I guarantee you, after you drive away, they drive away. They're probably not calling their loved one to come and pick them up because they shouldn't be driving. But that's the reality of how traffic is enforced. And that's not just in St. Louis. That's all over. Generally speaking, they do not put handcuffs on you and take you to jail because you don't have a driver's license. Now, if you can't identify them because they have no ID on them, you absolutely have the legal right to arrest them and take them in, fingerprint them, figure out if they're, you know, a convicted felon with a firearm, you know, whatever the issues might be, because you don't know who they are. You're not going to write a ticket to somebody not knowing who they are. So there are times where you do arrest people for traffic violations, but it's only when you can't verify their identity.
By the way, and I think we had tried to get him on this afternoon, but I think he was busy. But I heard him, actually, I was listening this morning to Cam Wex, and Chief Doyle was on from Ferguson, and he had somewhat a little encouraging news about Travis Brown, saying he's breathing well again after a bout with pneumonia, still in a coma. There's some signs that are positive. He said also that they are keeping a vigil in his hospital room 24/7, so someone is there when he does wake up. I don't know if you have any other information, but that's just, it doesn't seem like, you know, there's going to be a real quick recovery in any way, shape, or form there.
Well, I have been one of the people. I've sat there with him and stayed with him twice now for 4 hours each time. We take turns doing that. And I will tell you that the family, unbelievably committed to TJ, mother staying the night with him every night. It's really the support that he has from the community, the police department, other police departments, and his family is outstanding. Now we need him back with us.
Absolutely.
We need him awake and back with us. And I still think, as Chief Doyle said, it's going to be a long road ahead.
Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch is here. All right, this report that came out today, this is from the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations is what it's called. And Ron Johnson, who is a Republican senator from Wisconsin, I know Senator Johnson, we go way back. And also Gary Peters, who's a Democrat from Michigan, Rand Paul from Kentucky, and Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut released this report. And I've read through some of it, but it's rather shocking how many failures. I mean, I think we knew that there were failures, but this spells it out in a little bit more detail, doesn't it?
It does. And by the way, the acting director of the Secret Service says, oh, by the way, it's all true. This is all accurate. So this isn't one of those political hit jobs that we're used to coming out of some of these reports and these investigations. He basically acknowledged it. You're exactly right. Everything you hit on is right. And I will tell you, this was and I said this before with you, it was a massive failure. The people I know at the Secret Service, people that I've hired that left the county, went to the Secret Service, people like that, they're in agreement that this was a mess. This
right.
was an absolute mess. It's a mess in leadership. I would never blame the people on the ground. They're doing what they're being told. But I will tell you that the leadership in this situation, clearly, this was a failure of imagination. Somebody didn't say, oh my gosh, look at that rooftop over there. Shouldn't we have this covered? It was predictable. And if it's predictable, it's preventable. And there were a lot of things that were missed in this. I've worked many presidential visits and presidential debates at WashU, and I will tell you, when this report came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this, so much of this is basic. How the heck did this happen? And I think it really comes down to who's in charge of this. The bottom line is the Secret Service is in charge of it. Every one of these events I ever worked, the Secret Service says, we need people here, we need them there, we need this. I brought out dump trucks to block the road so somebody couldn't crash through into WashU's property, blah, blah, blah. But that was all in coordination with the Secret Service. And the other thing you saw, Mark, was the lack, the failure of communications between
yes.
local agencies
yep.
and the Secret Service. Every one of these I ever worked, it was us, local law enforcement, and the Secret Service sitting next to each other in the same room. So even though we may not be able to communicate on their radio, which is apparently still an issue today because they have their own radio system and it's a different band, and all the different things that come with communications, but you're sitting next to each other. So this would have been, you know, the Butler County folks saying, hey, agent, there's a guy climbing up on the roof.
Right.
So let your folks know that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, to your point,
cell phone.
Here's what the report says on that, because this might be one of the more stunning aspects of this. The United States Secret Service failed to communicate information about the suspicious person to key personnel and failed to take action to ensure the safety of former President Trump. At approximately 5:44 p.m., Secret Service personnel were notified that local law enforcement observed a suspicious person with a rangefinder near the AGR building. By 5:52, at least 8 Secret Service personnel had been informed. Approximately 2 minutes before shots were fired, the security room located on the rally grounds was told that there was an individual on the roof in the AGR building. Shortly before the shots were fired, the counter sniper observed local officers running toward the AGR building with guns drawn. But 2 minutes in the whole scheme of this, that's a long time when you are notified that someone is a danger to a former president.
Absolutely. I think at the bottom line, if you would just want to sum it up, they played it cheap. They played it cheap. Do I think there was a conspiracy to let this happen to Trump? No, I'm not one of those people that think that way. I know too many Secret Service agents that take their job very seriously. This was a failure in leadership and a failure of imagination of that leadership. So there's a lot of, you know, how about the drone situation?
Yeah, let me highlight this, okay?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
where I was going to go next. The United States Secret Service counter-drone system experienced technical problems that left it inoperable for hours. Sue, listen to this. With no backup system, Secret Service agent responsible for overseeing the CUAS capabilities at the July 13th rally called a toll-free tech support hotline to start troubleshooting with the company, which took several hours. And by the way, that agent only had 3 months of experience working with the equipment and didn't know much about it. So there's right there. I mean, there's so many different things. It's not just one or two. It's like 10 to 15 different things that they
sure.
screwed up here.
Jeez.
Yeah. Have you ever been on hold with the IT help desk anywhere?
Yeah. Well, Throttle.net would get
right
that picked up within 2 minutes. But yes, I've heard that elsewhere.
Yeah. So there's just one issue after another. And it was really a cascading effect of failures that led to this. And, We were very fortunate, if you want to call it that. Yes, there was a man killed, feel very bad. This could have been much worse, and it was only as we know by millimeters at this point, that it wasn't much worse, but it was bad enough. It was bad enough that people had to be shot and one man lost his life. Awful.
And how about the details coming out against this other guy, you know, in the second assassination attempt, and the level of nut job that he is a Hall of Fame level, I think.
Yeah, I think that one will get interesting. The other thing I'll tell you, Mark, is I don't think this is over. I think there's going to be others that are going to continue to do this and test this. You know, when I said when Trump got the nomination, I said the biggest concern I have is if they think he's going to be the president, I'm talking about these disturbed people, if they think he's going to be the president, some people, the only way they know how to react is they think the only solution is violence. And to them, it's kind of relieving when they make a decision, I'm going to go try to, in this case we saw in Florida, you know, and stick this gun through the fence and see if I could get him. That's not the only guy out there.
No.
You know, I would say there's more loose than there are locked up.
Well, and he seemed to be, you know, very proud of himself saying, hey, I'll let you down, but if anyone else wants to try, go for it. Yeah. And that's what we're up against. I hope you're wrong, but former Senator Lamping's been talking about this, too, for a while, and the threats are not going to go away. Chief, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on here this afternoon.
Okay.
All right, take care. I want to read a little bit. He's read the report, but I wanted to share a little bit more. And keep in mind, this is a bipartisan, you know, committee. But this is what the chair of the committee, Richard Blumenthal, said. He's a Democrat. What happened on July 13th was an accumulation of errors that...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Produced a perfect storm of stunning failure. It was a tragedy and completely preventable from the outset. There was both a failure to provide resources, like a working radio.
Wow, they're actually saying that.
Oh,
that's
drone detection system or counter-surveillance team and a lack of effective chain of command. Looking forward, we need structural reform in the agency itself. The Secret Service is filled with dedicated and skilled men and women who serve our country, yada, 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 yada. And
okay, Mark,
you know, we got to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we need to. Is that not happening now? I mean, we have an immediate need.
Well, I think it is, but this goes much deeper. It really is. And, you know, they actually make a bunch of recommendations. They say that Congress should require the Secret Service to identify defined roles and responsibilities in advance of each protective event. They should designate a single individual responsible for approving all plans. Now, how is that not something that happens right now, right? Why is one person not a point person that includes the responsibility for approving security perimeters? That just seems like common sense to me. DHS and United States Secret Service should ensure communication plans between federal, state, and local law enforcement and first responders are properly executed. Again, some of this stuff, that should have been the playbook already. Why are we saying this should happen now? Secret Service should consider sending additional assets, including countersnipers, to all future outdoor protective events. Yeah, let's beef it up. How about 5 more counter snipers or whatever, you know, the situation might call for. Congress should evaluate the budget and resources. Security requirements should be determined depending on various threat levels. I think that there are a lot of things that tax money goes to that we would all agree is a big waste of money. But this seems to be relatively important for the Republic. So maybe we should put some resources on it. And it's rather shocking, but it is bipartisan. And again, to Chief Fitch's point, it's not like this is in doubt.
No, nope.
This was something the Secret Service is like, yep, you got us. You're right about all this stuff right now, which is really, really unfortunate. All right, we got a few more things to go. Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw are going to join us here in just a couple of minutes for the preview of the next Protecting Your Retirement event. We're going to get together for the final event of this year on Tuesday night, next Tuesday. Matt Crisilius is going to be here. On the topic of cops, they're hosting a fundraiser this Friday night for Mike Coletti. He's an instructor at the police academy. He was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer as a family. They're trying to do something pretty cool, raise some money at the Police Lodge on Baxter Road in my old neck of the woods in Baldwin. We have former Senator Talent on tonight. We'll talk about Biden's UN speech and some other things, especially related to Hezbollah and Israel. And then my friend Dan O'Donnell is going to be here. Dan and I worked together at WTMJ many years ago in Milwaukee. He has a talk show now in his own right on a competing station up there, WISN. But, you know, Wisconsin's immensely important electorally to this presidential race and consequential. And then there's a question. I mentioned Senator Ron Johnson here a few minutes ago. He's been trying to poke around in his state about why the state of Wisconsin won't clear what he says are 4 million bad voter names on the rolls.
4 million?
Yeah, that seems like a high number, but we'll have Dan break it down in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day and more.
Get more at 971talk.com.